Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast. I'm John Norman, bringing you an exclusive interview between two former England internationals, the former England bowler Steve Harmison and the former England and current Tottenham Hotspur goalkeeper Joe Hart, to discuss his love of cricket, a promising career in the game, and why he chose to play cricket in 2018 instead of watching the World Cup quarterfinal. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast, as Steve Harmison meets Joe Hart.
Cork has got it though, taking it round. Dimitrelis chipped the ball into the box. Here's Bapatimbi Gomez. It's another great save by Joe Hart. Decent ball in. Pelé is arriving. Comes back off of Hart. Davis has got a chance to shoot. He does. It's into the 6-yard box. Tadic is there, still alive. And Hart and company smother the ball. It goes out of play, comes off of Tadic, and it's out for a goal kick. Sigurdsson's delivery. That one's better. And it's a header by Badarang Fernandez towards the far corner. And Joe Hart pulls out a magnificent save.
Joe, thanks for joining us. Just want to talk about, you know, the game of cricket that we all love. In your first abide memories, first sort of time you got into the game of cricket, and how?
I think I just kind of went with the English seasons. Played football in the winter and then cricket in the summer. Best friend of mine, who still plays now, captain of my local team. His dad was a strong minor counties player, so I just followed him into it. No one in my family really plays cricket or football, actually.
When played as a kid at schoolboy level. I was going to ask you before, you played at Marine last week, and I remember playing football as a kid, under 15s, playing at grounds like, actually played at Marine, but grounds like Marine, thinking, right, I've made it, this is the world. Was there any grounds in like that in the cricketing world where you were like junior, coming into sort of teenage years, where you think, oh, I've made it if I've played this ground. I would love to play at that ground.
We did nets at the Aegeus Bowl when that just opened with at the Bunbury tournaments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Midlands versus the North. We did that there, which was pretty special. Old school quick cricket. Our primary school got to the final at Edgbaston. I couldn't believe that. stuff like that were big moments in my cricketing career.
And at what point, I don't know about you, but I'm of an opinion that you get kids to play as much sport as they possibly can, all sports, and your body defines which way you're going to go. At what point did your body decide, if it was your body, that decide that football was going to be the way to go, and you had to put cricket on the back burner for a little bit?
I suppose I was just a lot further down the road with football. I played for my local team. I was at like the Worcester Academy when I was about 14. Got some really good opportunities in cricket, but football wise, I was training with the first team. I was on the bench when I was 15, things like that. So at 16, you've got to make the decision. And I think the decision was almost made for me. I think my path was football, and cricket's there's a long way to go, isn't there? You don't really quite know where you stand until you've made it in cricket. And I find in football, there's more of a path and more of a, kind of structured way of getting there.
Ngidi into him again. That's another six. He sliced it over backward point. That's outrageous. How do you do that, Moeen Ali?
And there's one or two international players in that Worcester Academy as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. There was. Mo was there. Played with him as well, Moeen Ali, with the Bunbury Festivals. my best friend's older brother, Ed Foster, he was a county cricketer as well. So he was at Worcester. He was doing that then. Steve Davis, who plays at...
Yeah, top player.
Where's Steve now? Is he at Surrey?
He's at Surrey now, yeah.
Yeah, keeper batsman. He was there. You know, he was really, really strong player for them. Who's the all-rounder? I think he's captain of Worcester now.
Daryl Mitchell, yeah, he's a PCA chairman, yeah. If you're playing in the Bunburys, that's a good level of cricket. I've always said if people play schoolboy cricket for Yorkshire, Lancashire, London schools, or you get a chance to play the Bunburys, you've got a chance to make a name for yourself in the game.
Yeah, I've got some, you know, I really enjoyed those tournaments. I played for Shropshire, you know, not a minor county. So, you know, we were good. We had a good team, but I got the opportunity to play at the Bunburys and play with some really good players. Played the year up 1 year as well. People were giving me some really great opportunities in cricket that I really, really enjoyed.
And you went into football. Cricket became basically a hobby and a love. You know, when you did go and watch the game of cricket, the admirers, who did you admire when you were sort of growing up watching the game?
I've always been like a fast bowler. So the likes of yourself, when you and, you know, that starting attack, the 2005 Ashes.
Oh, Stephen Harmison with a slower ball. One of the great balls. That is very good. The swing works, the Oracle again. Well, well, well. Matthew Hoggar gets the breakthrough.
I loved cricket anyway, but it was really nice to enjoy cricket with people who didn't enjoy it. That was a real special time. I remember watching it on Channel 4. Yeah, it was nice to be able to talk cricket with people who didn't necessarily want to talk cricket. So you guys really kind of lit the flame. And I've been a real big England fan ever since. I've always supported England, but now I can kind of only really link football supporters with their love of a team with how I feel about England. You know, I don't really care win, lose or draw. I'm with them.
Arguably, there's not much crossover between cricket and football, but the one probably crossover I can put between cricket and football is goalkeepers standing next to the crowd, bowlers, fast bowlers going down to the crowd. Do you get some stick, obviously? Two, do you ever get that? I've had this moment many times, that Cantona moment, thinking, I've had enough of you, I'm coming over, I'm going to get you, because I've had enough of the stick that you get.
I've always really enjoyed it. You know, like you say, the position that we're in, I've had it from 16 and in real, you know, 2,000-3,000 seat stadiums where you can hear every single word that everyone's saying, you know, the most old school of insults at the level where people don't actually know anything about you. So, you know, they're talking about my brother and I haven't even got a brother. and then right the way up to kind of Stamford Bridge, that real strong Cockney accent, kind of just berating you, and they're right next to you for the whole game. But I've always quite enjoyed that. In fact, I've really enjoyed it. And if someone's stepping too far, I quite enjoy kind of looking at the guy maybe two or three down from them and saying, oh, mate, and just seeing how angry someone can get, because you've got to enjoy it.
You go, just ask them if they're Australian. Simple as that. Just ask them if they're Australian.
I bet their boys are.
You stand the boundary in Australia, and it's your mum, your sister, then your wife. And actually, I did. I picked on one guy in Adelaide. I thought it was quite amusing. After I'd bowled that infamous ball in Brisbane, I copped it on the boundary, as you can imagine, around the whole of Australia. And this guy gave it to me for about five overs. So I just turned around and I just said, like, asked him what his problem was. And he said to me, the only thing that's good about you, Harmison, is your missus. And I just pointed at where the boxes were. I said, well, she's over there. I said, you go and try and live with her. To which all these men started laughing. Falling about laughing, and every time I came back after the end of an over, I'd be pointing at him and going, you know, she's over there, you're going, and the whole crowd and then that section was on my side. So, sometimes it does work for you, and I can imagine sometimes it doesn't, but it must be a goalkeeper thing, because, you know, the three close lads of good friends of mine, Steve Harper, Rob Elliott, and Carl Darlow, who's doing well now at Newcastle, they're all mad keen on the game of cricket, huge game. Keen on the game of cricket, and during sort of my time of playing for England, I trained at Newcastle, and Sir Bobby was the one that got me trained. He was the one that let me come in, but also got me to come in and talked about cricket a lot. He was mentored to who your manager is now, Jose Mourinho, and we've seen what's happened at Spurs in the training ground on the videos and stuff like that. Are you getting the lads into the game of cricket?
You know what? I've always loved it. I've always it's not a necessarily loved game in football, especially the kind of higher the level you go now, the more foreign guys, and it's not, you know, the kind of the South Americans and the kind of Europeans that are in football don't really know much about the game and they don't understand it. And the hardest thing to explain is a 5-day game that doesn't result in a draw. But, you know, we were talking here and the gym's kind of perfect. There's not really too, it's quite a big space and we talked that we liked it. So we got a mini set in. Then it got quite serious and now we play really regularly. You know, they obviously documented that one bit, but, you know, that's a percent of what goes on with the cricket.
Yeah. Who's the boys in there that didn't, to the point where there were non-cricketing lovers, to the point where you actually pick a bat up and you think, you could potentially have a little bit of a go here, you know, in a charity match or wherever. They might think, you know what, sticks and whites on, pads on, bat on, and you might not love the game, but you can actually hit the ball.
So fits that is probably Eric Dyer. You know, he's obviously English, plays for England, but grew up in Portugal. He claims he's never played before, but he's coming on leaps and bounds. So if he is telling the truth, then he's exceptional considering his cricketing background. Delhi's never really played cricket. He's not bad. And then there's a few of the boys who you know who've picked the bat up before and they play well.
What about the manager? Is he an advocate for letting his player in? And because there's a lot of, you know, in cricket, football and warm-ups are a nightmare for some managers, because it's just the recipe for an injury. Is the manager quite happy for you to enjoy your time doing it?
You know what? One of the things I like about him is you do what you need to do. Obviously, there'll be repercussions if anything stupid happens and we lose a player because of it. But if you're not doing any harm and you're doing something positive as a team, then go for it. So, you know, I don't think he's really got an opinion on it. We just play. Because at the end of the day, we're all kids, aren't we? Men, we don't grow up. We're just going to play sport.
Plenty more to come with Steve Harmison in conversation with the Spurs goalkeeper, Joe Harp. You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast and an exclusive interview with the former England goalkeeper Joe Harp. If you missed any of the show so far or wish to catch up, you can listen back to the podcast, now available via the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. But without further ado, let's return to today's show. Steve Harmison sits down with Joe Harp. This is the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
And experiences of the game, Joe. Have you played at Bunbury, so you've played at a decent level. Going to watch it now, and going to the grounds, is there a game where the most memorable game you've been to, where you think, you know, I've really enjoyed being at this ground, seeing this happen live?
I remember when Peterson scored 100 against the Aussies at Old Trafford.
Down the wicket, it's the little push into the leg side. What a celebration! You run out of superlatives when you watch this man bat. And this has been an innings of pure, unadulterated brilliance.
That was a really special day. It was a proper day. It was a day off. It was in the summer, so I managed to enjoy it properly. I did test match special with Jonathan Agnew, half cut. So that was an experience.
Sometimes you have to speak to Agger's half cut.
Well, I never had, so it was just, you know, I probably wouldn't have done it, but because, you know, my decision making was a little bit different at the time. So I went and sat down and, you know, he was like, forgive me, I don't really know too much about you or much about football. I was like, couldn't be any more perfect. We just talk cricket. watched him smash the Aussies everywhere. And you know the new kind of stand at the glass at Old Trafford?
Yeah.
We were in a box there. I don't know why. I think it was just next to the press box, just before I did it. And we were watching him. It was good. It was a special moment.
What made it special for you?
Just the occasion. Understood the game and the occasion. You know, the Ashes is an absolute buzz as a fan. So God knows what it's like to play in. But as a fan, it was a really well-contested game. It was an important game. Obviously, he's a flair player. So when he plays well, it's really exciting.
And your cricketing hero growing up?
Flintoff, I really enjoyed.
There's a big shout. He's gone. It's the wicket. Andrew Flintoff is turning this game around. He did it with a bat first. First up today, now with the ball.
It was your team probably that sticks out the most, because I liked playing it rather than watching it. It wasn't very accessible cricket. It's on Sky now, you can watch Big Bash, you can watch cricket from all around the world, but I kind of relied on test matches on Channel 4 as best I could. So, yeah, it was probably you boys in the 2005 that really, really lifted it off.
And this series that's just happened, arguably it's been talked about the greatest series of all time, the India-Australia one. I want to take you to an incident and try and put it into football and context, where Ashwin against Payne, two of them having a bit of banter on the field, which probably shouldn't be heard, but it is heard. It's gone around the world. Can you see a day where in football there's microphone and a referee or microphone and a goalpost so people can hear what's going on inside the box or what's happening on the pitch? Because some people think it's great. Some people don't think it's great.
Look, I think this is the moment now if you want to hear anyone saying anything. Obviously, you know, empty stadiums, you can literally hear a pin drop. But, you know, it's funny because people who will tune into that moment you're talking about there will think Tim Payne will be devastated. You know, there's all sorts of egg on his face. But like you said, that gets said all day, every day. It gets said in football as well. And, you know, people, sometimes you talk too much and it goes against you, but it doesn't always get picked up on a mic. But I think it brings a positive light to the game. And I'm sure Tim Payne's big enough to shrug it off.
I remember during my time training at Newcastle, and Craig Bellamy would come off and by rate and slag every single player he's played with in that training session off. So I can't imagine what Bellas are saying to the opposition on the pitch and saying how bad they are and how slow they are and things like that. Some people think it's good and some people, you know, maybe it's not like that sort of thing. But you mentioned empty stadiums, and what's that been like? Because I know the cricketers have found it, you know, very, very difficult to get the sort of key moments in the game where you possibly need the crowd to give you that little bit of injection. It's not there.
Yeah, maybe with a full day's play, I think they'll probably miss it more than us. We're kind of like, you know, we train for around 60 to 90 minutes every day anyway. So I suppose it kind of flips into a kind of training mode. So we're used to it, technically. You know, the stadium echoes a little bit, but football is quite fast-paced, so you can kind of get lost in the moment anyway. You know, you can play in front of 100,000 people and still be able to focus. So it's not so difficult to be able to play not in front of everyone and still be able to focus if you know what I mean.
In he said from Lingard and powered into the net by Dele Alli. England are on their way to a place in the World Cup semi-final.
There was a story banded about when during England's World Cup, I think it was in 2018. Where you're opening the bowling. I think England were playing the quarter final and you're opening the bowling for Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
Is it that easy now? You mentioned the gaffer, my manager before, Jose Mourinho, saying there's consequence if it doesn't go right. Is there times now where you just think, I'd love a game of cricket?
Yeah. You know, I'd never been able to play because of it was quite an ironic one that I played a lot for England. I played for years, you know, maybe 10 years. So even the summers were taken up by tournaments or, you know, extra football. And I've always tried to get a game and never been able to get it. And I was supposed to play the week before. I don't know, weather or something. And then because of it being the England quarterfinal, there was a few spaces for me. And I just had to take it. That was, you know, if I was required for England, obviously I wouldn't be there, but I wasn't. So I sent my best wishes to the boys because I love a lot of that team that got there because I played with them pretty much right the way through till that final. And then I played a game of cricket, something that I love and really enjoyed.
And the abiding memory of, you know, the grounds that you play in football, you know, some of the places you've played, 75 international football matches for England, playing some of the best grounds around the world. Is there a cricket ground you're thinking, right, I'd love to play there?
I think I'd love to play at Lord's. It looks greener than everywhere else. It looks better than everywhere else. It seems like you guys, when you're on that field, it's a different game. I think it's the home of cricket, isn't it?
The home of cricket, it's great. Lunchtime at Lord's is the best. Now, you ask a lot of cricketers, they'll say Lord's, and they'll not say for the game, because it's a very difficult place to play cricket because of the slope. I don't know if you've ever been on the actual outfield at Lord's.
I've never
been out. When you're on it, you realise how much of a slope there is from sort of left to right when you're watching it on camera. It's about 2 metre difference all really? The way down from fine leg to fine leg. The best way I describe it is if you look at pictures of the pavilion and look at the picket fence and the bricks, there's a huge gap in the difference between, you know, one end, when you're looking straight at it, from left to right as you look at it, there's a huge difference between one end and the other when you look at the fence. And when you're bowling on it, it's a very, very difficult place to sort of, your lines and lengths have got to be pretty switched on because obviously the slope goes go into it. But if any cricketer asks, you ask any cricketer, they'll say the lunchtime is just phenomenal. You want to be batting every time just after lunch because the portions and everything that you get. As many times I've asked for a couple of overs of Vaughan just before lunch, and then he gets the bowling figures at lunchtime and he goes, well, he's bowled 8, he's bowled 9, he's bowled 2. And I'm thinking, yes, get me up to 8 because I know for a fact I've got at least 40 minutes off after lunch. So it is, it's a great place and it's a great atmosphere. I've got a quick fire, 5 questions before you go.
Yeah.
And I'll let you go. One word answers, batsman or bowler?
Bowler.
Tests or T20s?
Tests.
Are England going to win the Ashes in 2021?
Yes.
If you were a fan going on a World Cup football tournament trip or an Ashes trip, Army.
I want to play the football, so Ashes.
Ashes. Botham, Flintoff or Stokes?
Flintoff.
Interesting answer. Mate, Joe, thanks very much. I really appreciate your time and thanks very much. And I'm sure TalkSport listeners will enjoy listening to somebody who they see on TV, you know, many, many times about in the footballing world, talking about something that he enjoys and he loves. Thanks very much.
A true pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 as part of the Following On podcast and a conversation between two former England internationals, Steve Harmison sitting down with the Spurs goalkeeper Joe Hart. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back to the podcast on the Following On feed available via the free TalkSport app. Thanks for listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.